And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sander.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Pete Gray here along with Rock God Rick Mexa. Yes, this is the world headquarters right here of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma, overlooking the beautiful San Diego
fleet.
The
world's most finest sport fishing fleet.
Exactly. The largest.
And largest.
Finest. Yes. In the world. You heard him. Captain Joe Ralston is here with the Teresa M, and he is an albacore guy now. He was a sport boat guy with us.
Well, when I had my sport boat, that was the albacore years. And
Got a lot of albacore on your sport boats, too.
Yeah, now I just want to chase those things around,
yeah,
I guess.
That's okay. Is this kind of the grand finale, you think, for your career?
Well,
you never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going until I can't go anymore.
Yeah.
So.
That's the way we hope, right?
Yeah. Relentless.
Yeah. Relentless. That's the man. Yeah. Well, we're giving away a great prize thanks to our friends at AFCO,
man,
too.
You're not kidding. Yeah, really cool prize pack. And it's available to one lucky caller or texter today. And if you want to be a caller to the show, it's super easy. Just give us a ring. 833-288-0973. We are standing by at the Fan to answer your phones and get your questions answered by Captain Joel. Again, 833-288-0973 is how you reach us on the phones. Or send us a text. Texting the show is only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Again, if you don't have it, it's a free download. It's the easiest way to listen to Let's Talk Hookup. You can catch all the archive shows. You can listen on your drive home from work. It's a great way to take in Let's Talk Hookup. And it's the only way to text in your questions to Joel this morning. Send us a text. When you do, make sure you include that contact info in case you win that killer AFCO prize pack, which includes a brand new AFCO multi-tool. Includes knife, scissors, a really nice tool.
Super. Made by Boker, Germany.
Very high-end tool.
Very high. It's like a $90 tool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say it's like $100. It's a really, really nice tool for one lucky caller texter. In addition to that, you're going to win one of those AFCO Blue Fever swimmers. You're going to get one of the AFCO Crossbreed jigs. And you're going to get a spool of AFCO Psycho Pro Fluorocarbon.
Yeah.
A really nice kit.
Nice kit, thanks to AFCO. And you know what's cool? They have these, now they've put together these gift packs at AFCO.com.
Okay.
And you can go on there and just, like, buy a gift pack. You know, if you can't think, what am I going to get the fisherman? Go and buy one of those AFCO gift packs.
Like
they're really
it.
Cool.
There
you
go. Good tip.
Yeah. 833-288-0973. Jeff's standing by. Let's jump into the phone.
Chuck and Dana Point's up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. 100 scoops of anchovies? That's a lot.
Oh, 500 scoops of anchovies.
You know,
yeah. Even better.
Old school colors like Mexican flag, zucchini, and all that.
All that? They all get bit?
30 years since we caught them.
I think it's been 14 years.
14 years here?
I think.
Yeah. That's about right.
11?
Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Nah, a long time.
You guys
maybe
haven't
longer.
Seen foamers until you've seen these guys on the surface. I've seen them so thick, they couldn't get back in the water without diving in. They're a lunatic when they go crazy. Pretty fun.
Yeah, we like it. Their IQ drops immensely when they're foaming on the surface.
They're just on it.
You know, the funny thing is, I still have a box of hooks from the AFCO garage sales that I never used. They're just for albacore. They're chrome. You never buy chrome anymore. But
no,
that's
taboo. They you can't get a bite on a chrome hook anymore, especially fish a bluefin.
Yeah.
I think with the shine of the hook, it hurts their eyes.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the albacore hook.
That's all. I can't use them.
Yeah. Well, hey, maybe the albacore comes back around. You never know. Hey, Chuck, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Mario in Pasadena had something related to that. It says, great show, Joel. Wondering what the conditions exist in your fishing area that you catch albacore that need to change in the south to bring fish south again.
There's albacore where we fish albacore.
Right.
There's that's the condition that exists is albacore-friendly area. I don't know what the difference is in the water. I don't know. There's not enough decent plankton edges.
Uh-huh.
All that fresh water that pours out of the rivers and all the bait that's up there, you know, that's just the feeding ground where those fish have been feeding for so long.
Yeah.
We used to catch albacore. It used to come up the beach. I remember it would come up the beach down there by that lower 500, come, you know, romping up the 500-fathom curve, you know, I don't know if that's a different batch. I just
where
don't know.
The fish that you're fishing up in Oregon and Washington, is that coming from Japan? Is it coming from across the ocean?
Those things go so deep, nobody really knows.
They don't know.
They appear and then they disappear. Those guys just tell stories in the South Pacific. Oh, we're catching 1,000 fish a day. And then the next day they don't catch anything. Guys fan out 500 miles in any direction. They don't see anything. They come right back to where they were catching them. Oh, look, hey, there's albacore right here. So, I mean.
Is that different albacore? Or is it different? You were saying a lot of that albacore.
I don't know.
You're saying a lot of that albacore is bigger tropical albacore.
In the middle, between the South Pacific and the North Pacific. Oh, like those longline boats out of Samoa, they catch those big breeder fish in deeper
call
water.
Tombo?
Well, yeah, that's the same thing, albacore. Same thing. It's like Dorado, Mahi Mahi, Dum Dum. You know,
Tombo is just basically a big South Pacific albacore.
It's just albacore in a different area.
Uh-huh.
Samoa, maybe that's Samoan. It's same in Hawaii. They call them Tombo in Hawaii.
They call them Tombo,
So I don't know. We have the same water temperatures. Maybe most of the boats are tied up at the time of year. Maybe there's albacore out there outside the Cortez and the Tanner. That 1,500 fathom curve we used to fish at San Juan Steamon on down to the south. I don't know. Nobody's there.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. You just never know.
I mean, it just could be, their clock could be wrong for when we want to fish.
Yeah.
So like typically here, like we look at our charts and we're fishing the same areas that we were last year, the year before catching bluefin or.
Before the charts, we'd all just go to popular hotspots.
Right.
Frank used to tell me 4th of July, the boats would untie and they go out towards that worm. It's like a 32-119 cross.
Yeah.
Straight out to the west, and they start looking for albacore. And that was like 4th of July.
Right.
It was like almost like clockwork. Oh, 3rd of July. Oh, wow, we better get ready to go out there because albacore.
That's the time.
And that was it. No water charts, no satellite in the sky telling you where it looks good or anything like that. You just go to that spot. And I used to get grief for being a San Diego guy when I fish up north because those guys just fish water structure. And there's some banks and whatnot. But I made a comment to my group one morning. I said, oh, everyone that's on an edge of a bank right now has got a morning bite. And Robbie Sanchez, who isn't with us anymore, he said, oh, you San Diego guys, 213, double 220 fish in the bank. I'm just saying what I see, you know. Everyone that's on an edge of a bank right now is catching fish, and everyone that's not isn't. So. You know, we fish structure here in San Diego.
Yeah.
So all that stuff was a 43, 500, the worm, the 60, you know, the 213, double 220, 10-10 trench, all the way down, 295, inside edge, all that. That's where all that stuff was. And that's where we just go look on. We're going to go look here.
Yeah.
You guys would pan out. Oh, nobody caught anything going that way. Well, we'll go 10 degrees more to the east until we found something.
And up north, you fish water structure.
Water structure, yeah.
Not banks or anything.
Sometimes the water structure is on a bank, but it's the plankton edges. I like plankton cul-de-sacs myself.
Yeah. Now, if you were to look at your chart this year and go back, is it going to be in the same zones you're going to fish this year?
Albacore are weird. On a daily basis, you get a jinx. We put a mark on the plotter every time we get a bite.
Right.
And you backtrack. That's why you tack for albacore on the same line, north, south. North, south, and sometimes where you got a bite before, you get a bite again.
Uh-huh.
Or a yellowfin, they're like always on the move, it seems like. And bluefin, same areas, but kind of on the move. But albacore seemed to waypoint. We call it waypointing, where you just go back to where you caught them.
And next year it'll be the same thing.
And sometimes it's the next day, and sometimes you get a week almost on the exact same spot.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
How do they know?
How do they
I think
know?
Their electronics might be better than mine.
Seems like it. Hey, well, let's jump right back into the phones and back into these texts. Again, if you want to join us, it's 833-288-0973. Had a good text this morning. It says, morning, guys. Great show as always. Love hearing from Captain Joel. Joel, do you ever see Big Eye in the mix with your albacore? I remember a few years ago there was some Big Eye mix with the albacore in Central California. Is there any Big Eye up north where you guys are at?
Back in the 80s. I worked on the Bull Contender, and it was like 250 albacore trip with 5 or 6 Big Eye. There was always a mix. We don't see that up there. A sprinkling of bluefin, since the bluefin seem to be liking the Eastern Pacific West Coast thing that we got going on here now. We pick away at those things a little bit on the jigs, but no, unfortunately. No Big Eye.
It'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see.
Those things are cool. We're talking about that on the Royal Star about handlining those things. And like yellowfin will just go blasting through the corner and take your arm off if you're trying to catch one on the hand line. But big eye, you hook one and they stop. Okay. They stop and they shake their head like, hey, there's something going on. It gives you a chance to pull like nobody's business so somebody can gap it and throw it on the boat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, because there were some kelps when Brian and Sam had the Queen and I had the Conquest. And there was one year there was one really good kelp and one so-so kelp. And I missed out on the good kelp, but once they found the good kelp, I knew where the other kelp was. So we'd go there. And we handlined I think we had 16 one day.
Oh, wow.
And every one of them, every one you hook it and it stops. But there was a yellowfin mix. A small yellowfin would keep going.
But the big guy would stop.
Big guy would stop, and you get a chance to pull unless you're snoozing.
Yeah.
Now, but you get a chance to pull and get them right to the corner, put a couple.
Before they figured out what was going on.
Yeah, they'd stop for a second. They'd shake, they flare their gills, they shake their head, and then they're done.
Now, what about your time longline and out of Hawaii in fishing?
Well, the money fish was big eye because they got a higher oil content and they're a fattier fish. Yellowfin, like they exercise too much. Okay. They jog too much or something like that. They're less fat content, not real oily.
So having been around plenty of both, for the people that say like, oh, you can't possibly tell the difference from one to the other until you cut it open, when one hits the
deck.
They
look a little different, but it's tough.
It is tough.
Okay. They're just chunkier.
Mm-hmm.
And their pecs are a little bit longer.
It's like you took a yellowfin and kind of smashed it from head to tail a little bit.
Yeah,
you
give it a little
football. Yeah,
compacted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's 877-288-0973. Open right now. Let's jump in the phones. Right?
Jason in San Diego is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Question, Joe. With all the time long lining, what happens when you catch other species of fish? Do you keep them, sell them, scrap them?
In Hawaii, it's all marketable.
Everything's got to...
Like in California, the boats that leave from here, I think you can't sell marlin and probably some other stuff. But everything sells. You catch it, you sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And albacore fishing, that's all you catch. You don't catch anything but albacore.
An occasional bluefin.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes there's some Dorado up there. Yellowtail on some structure every once in a while up there, but the bulk of the money fish is albacore. That's what we're looking for. So that's what we. Target.
And what do you do when you catch a bluefin or a yellowtail or
sashimi?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll bet.
That's food for the crew.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Okay.
That's fun. The crew's not going to put too much salt and oil that up to nobody's business. So we just cut it up and eat it.
Yeah,
delicious.
Cool.
Perfect. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that, Harry in Chula Vista is intrigued by your whale stories there. Good morning, Pete. Rick and Joel, great show. Love the information when you talked about attracting whales using your electronics. Can you go into more detail on that? What type of whales and what do you do if a whale won't leave the area and where you're fishing?
If they bother you, leave. That's it.
Just got to leave.
They're more protected than humans.
Yeah.
So it's false killer whales and pilot whales.
False killer whales and pilot whales. Interesting.
And there's... incredibly smart and good at picking
they
up
are
gear, right?
I think sea lions are bad. Sea lions, you see them coming.
Yeah,
those things, because you let the gear soak. You got 40 miles of gear in the water. You know, they start picking on the other end. You're not going to know until you start hauling gear.
Yeah,
and then it's a waste of a whole day.
Sure.
Sometimes you think, oh, maybe they moved on. No, we'll throw the gear in again. Oh, whoop, we got whaled again. So that's two wasted days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's brutal. Sometimes in the middle of the set, you know, they'll be porpoising behind the boat, and they're just picking every bait off every hook.
Really?
So, well, then you got to stop, haul the gear back in.
Wow. And that we're talking about the long lines.
Yeah, long lining.
Long lining. Yeah.
Whales are our friends when we're jigging.
Are they?
Those humpback whales and blue whales, finback whales, they were thick last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's so much bait, whale life. Yeah, I mean, a couple of times they're blowing right next to the boat. The gear's all low. Well, we had guys on the rack at that time. We were pole fishing, and they're right next to the boat.
Wow.
I'm glad they know where I'm at because I don't know where they're at most of the time. And they come up right next to us and almost get the windows wet. It's like, kick it out of gear, turn the wheel. No! And then, okay, we're fine. And
yeah. Wow. But they know where the bait is, right?
Because we're fishing on the bait. They're eating bait. I think they eat the albacore, too. I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
We're not allowed to cut one open to see what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's close quarters a lot of times.
Yeah.
That's right.
Do you ever see them... what do they call it when they
breaching?
When the humpbacks put together and they bubble feed? You ever see that up there? You haven't seen
they're,
that?
The albacore and the whales have the bait pushed up to the surface, yeah. So it's a big color spot of bait. I don't think they need to do that. I think they've already done that to get the bait to the surface, uh-huh. And the albacore pushed the bait to the surface, so it's just open up that big garage door and just eat all they can. It's yeah. It's wicked.
Yeah.
It's sure. Really cool to see.
I'll bet it is.
My wife loves that. I mean, I like it, too.
Yeah,
I,
that's cool.
Look, yeah, I mean, cool right?
Stuff. Albacore rolling off the whale's head while they're feeding, and we're guys on the rack, yeah. Pulling them on the boat. It's awesome.
You get
it's
one
really
of those,
awesome.
You get one of those days, you know that you made the right call buying that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, it's cool stuff to see that most people don't get to see.
No, yeah. So in the albacore fishing, the whales are your friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah, big time.
Even sport fishing, whales are always.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yellowfin all over those things, and it's just a good sign. There's, you know. There's
life.
Food there. There's life. Sign of life. You see, you can see a spout for 6 or 7 miles away, you know, in those scabies. Oh, look, maybe we'll go that way. And then you start seeing bait and Sony's and, hey, we're here.
Yeah. That's cool.
Do you use gyro binoculars, stethoscopes on
yeah,
on
once you've used a pair of scabies.
Oh, it's like.
Those 750.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a pair of 750s that sits on the shelf all the time, right?
My pinstriping days are over with. Yeah. So I need scabies.
Yeah. It does make you wonder how you saw so much stuff out of your 750.
Well, I had a guy like Roy on the roof when I ran the bell. I mean, he had good eyes. He didn't need any.
Yeah. But on the albacore boat, you use them too.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's got a pair of scabies.
Yeah. Got it. Unless
we're
one.
Yeah, unless we're busy.
Yeah.
Once we're located, it's a lot easier. We have a bird radar also, which helps.
A bird radar.
A legitimate bird radar. Wow. To where one bird almost looks like a little boat on the...
No kidding.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Who makes that?
Furuno.
Furuno, yeah.
I mean, there are other, you know, I'm sure Simrad has them and Raytheon probably, but the one that Scotty put on the boat was a Furuno.
How far can you see a bird on a bird radar?
A good bird school for like 8 miles. Wow. I know the long-range guys say that they can see it for 16 or 18 miles, but I never bump it out that far. Wow. I don't have the patience to, I think I see birds at 20 miles. You know, wake me up when we get there. Because we're not built for speed. We're built for time on the water. We don't want to burn all our fuel all at once. Yeah. We're real economical. We're 120 gallons a day.
Wow.
When we're working, which really isn't much. It sounds like for somebody driving to work and back, I got to do 120 gallons a day on my car, you know, but not for a boat, that's not bad at
and
all.
And that's running the generator, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all of it.
24 hours.
Yeah, refrigeration on.
Yeah.
Chasing things
around.
How
fast do you go?
7 knots, 7.5 knots.
That's not bad.
Especially if we leave early this thing, we're probably going to do 5 knots on the way up there. We're going to crawl.
And how long can you go before you have to put fuel back on?
About 45 days.
45 Ooh. Days.
That's a lot of days.
Wow.
Normally we're out of food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the timing is pretty much when you, or you have to offload.
Yeah. Hopefully we catch enough fish so we don't have to stretch it out. Well, the first trip last year, I think, was 40 days.
Wow. When you are full, for whatever the reason is, do you always fully reprovision and refuel and re-everything? Like if you're back at the dock, does that mean like,
if the fish are close and it's good,
That makes sense.
Normally we get food. Produce is one thing that we need on the boat.
You kind of, if you have it in your mind, hey, we're probably going to go right back out and catch these things again.
Yeah,
then
I mean,
need to
if
worry
they're,
about
if they're,
fuel on.
You know, that stuff pushes right up on the beach, sometimes almost right to the kelp line, you know. Okay. So sometimes it's, you know, you almost need more time just to melt the salt. You got to dissolve the salt before you get out there so you can run the pumps. You can't have it. I mean, it's not good. It's not bad, really, but.
I got you.
It takes almost overnight to dissolve all the salt. It takes 35 bags of salt for us to make our brine.
Wow.
And just a start. And for every ton of fish you catch, you got to add a bag.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
Always checking the salinity. You don't want everything to freeze up on you. Okay. So.
And is it a pretty constantly, you know, measured and thing that you're always having to... A
couple times a day.
Okay. All right. So not every 20 minutes, but long.
No, every 12 hours.
But you don't get to just ignore it either.
No, uh-uh.
Got it.
That's... It's like turning your back to Mother Nature. You don't want to ignore it.
Yeah, and that's the whole reason you're out there for all that fish that's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You got it.
It's all about the quality, too.
That's cool. Sure. All right, you have a good one, huh?
I thought so. Another great Texas. Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. I'm intrigued about hearing about the weather and the parachute that Joel was talking about earlier. Joel, how gnarly does the weather need to be before you decide to shut down? What is it like when you say this is too much, we're hiding for the day?
Really depends on the fish. And if we're catching fish, you know, we might just jig in the bad weather.
Okay.
But at the end of the year, you know, when we're making our money and catching them on the poles, they don't jig so good, really. Okay. So if we're not making enough money to justify driving around and burning the fuel, then we're going to throw the sea anchor out.
And is it wind? Is it sea state? Is sea it a combination state. Of the two? Like,
I don't care how windy it is. Yeah. Sometimes if the current's going right up into the wind, it gets all jacked up, and then that's it. We're done.
Yeah. What's the current's like? The current's pretty gnarly up there, right?
Some places, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get to where everything kind of meets up, and it's really not so bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a river, like in those big cul-de-sacs where this might be a long explanation, but current's like weather. So you get highs, just the current spinning clockwise, and you get lows where current's spinning counterclockwise. And that's what makes these cul-de-sacs where everything meets up and pushes. Like, so that clean water might be spinning clockwise and hit that current that's kind of pushing off the beach, and it makes these cul-de-sacs where everything kind of ends up.
Uh-huh.
All the baits there and the color change and all the fish are there, and it's just... So sometimes
the
current's ripping.
We're
like with no wind, we've drifted 16 or 17 miles overnight when there wasn't any wind at all. That's
moving.
That's almost 2 knots.
You're dealing with more current up there than we do down here?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
The colder the water gets, the more the current is.
The more current.
Like you go to Alaska, they got like 23-foot tides.
Right.
So you come down here, I think our tide's like 5 feet or 6 foot.
5 to 7.
But when it's moving... You know, it's ripping in the channel here. Sometimes those buoys look like they're doing 12 knots.
So the tide up there has something to do with the currents?
Because
you're out 200 miles offshore, though.
No, not always.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes we're only 60 miles, 50 miles, 40 miles.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
Man, it's awesome. What a fun show this has been. And again, if you want to get through, get your chance to talk to Joel. It's 833-288-0973. Next up, let's talk to Hills. Hills is calling us from Ventura this morning. Hey, Hills, welcome to the show.
Good morning, you guys. Hey, good morning, Joel.
Top of the morning.
I was curious, do you code group possibly with even some of the guys that you fished with, sport fished with, you know, like Pat Cavanaugh, JJ, some of these guys? I was in that group.
We talked right up till about the end of the year, and then I got the boot, so...
You're too good, that's why.
Well, I don't know what the deal was. I know what they say, but I don't recall the incident, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've known those guys forever. We used to talk, we talked more when I was in a different group, actually.
Yeah.
Not that I want to stir the pot, but, oh, here I go.
Yeah, that's just Joel. That's what you do. Yeah.
But yeah, so I talk to the jig boats now instead of the guys that do the same kind of fishing I do.
Yeah.
Which is just information. It's an information.
And the jig boats are fishing the same area as you guys are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once everything goes to bait where we catch a fish on the poles, those guys normally stay further offshore because we're taboo. Once we start chumming, they say it contaminates the entire ocean. You can't catch anything on a jig anymore. So.
Yeah.
So they normally fish like the next block outside of us, or where that plankton pulls way off the beach. Normally, there's fish there that's pretty jiggable, you know, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And are most of the boats that are in this fishery the size of the Teresa M? I mean, is that a common thing? Are more of the boats smaller, more of the boats bigger? Like, how's that shake out?
Like Aaron's boat, the Lydorian is bigger than us, but the Millie G is smaller than us. He's got those two boats. The Pikey, lengthwise, is about the same. I think we hold about the same. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I was more concerned at just trying to figure our boat out on the first year. Like I said, Scotty and I never really had we had like 2 days where we talked for like 3 or 4 hours, and he was had a dredging job, so he was busy and a lot of paperwork, so... It was, like I said, before the mics were on, trial by fire for me last year, you know, it was first year with the new boat and the new fishery and trying to keep all the bait alive and the brine and
learning a new deal.
Yeah, I was on one boat
but
for like,
I'd say you for, did pretty for, well.
I think,
yeah, we did okay. I'm happy.
I think the stars aligned in just the right way. Cause I know that a bunch. We talked about you were headset, like, you, obviously, all the phone calls and all the texts, like everybody had so much fun fishing with you in the sport fishing fleet, and that was it. Mine made up. I was going to buy the Condor, and Scott was ready to go, and Joel was going to take over, and it just the plans were in motion.
You know, the thing that made the Condor so good is we had a really good crew that worked really well together. And I got a couple of kids, friends of the family, Lorenzo and Ronan, that they're up-and-comers. And the biggest problem in the sport fishing fleet is they're going to run out of qualified people Because you need somebody that loves to fish and knows how to fish to be a good crew member. You know, somebody can have a lot of personality, but if they can't hit the water with the bait and help you try to catch something for some first-timers, then, you know, they're really not any good.
Right.
So we got a couple of kids that I'm trying to sponsor a little bit. Now that we're talking about that, I kind of changed the topic to crew. And if anyone's got anything they want to donate to the cause, because fish is expensive nowadays for these kids.
Right.
And they're always fishing the bay and this and that. I want to get them out on the boat, maybe back to my beginnings, see if – I know Yamati will help me out.
Sure.
Get them on the half-day boat and get them started. But, yeah. You know, try to give back to, you know, an industry that's given so much to me.
Yeah. Well, that's – hey, but that's – you know what, Joel? We need to get you involved with Friends of Rollo, Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we do at Rollo.
Then
we take kids fishing.
Then I want to put their name in the hat.
Yeah.
We got to get them going because
we can help arrange that.
Yeah, I'm going to take them out. Now, this, you know, Bonito's an awesome fish to catch.
Absolutely.
And if you take care of it right, it's still – you can make Bonito burritos all day long, and they're delicious.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try to get them out on the new C4th or on the Dolphin. They're catching, I mean, all along the.
We were talking about that. How much is this the most perfect fish that exists to get somebody hooked on it?
Like, because they are the funnest.
They are.
Pound for pound, I think they beat a bluefin.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you imagine a 100-pound bonita?
He'd never stop them.
Yeah.
I would have lost so much line. It's crazy. But, we had some years when I was a kid working at C4th that the bonita bit all winter long. We used to make a five hook gannon with those old bonito feathers, the good ones. An 8-ounce sinker on the bottom, five feathers on top, underhand it in the corner, get a bite, and let it just swim around. Get two, three, four, five.
Way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's a gannon full, because they're 3-pounders.
Yeah.
So on 60 or 80 pound, we mess those things up. Anyways.
There's my first ocean fish right there.
There it is.
It's like kind of a funny looking bonita because got a hold of Chuck Byron got a hold of it and did a little artwork on it. But
I know what it is. It's the poster fish.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on the rules and regulation. It is the poster fish.
That's
so what a good fish to start. Yeah. Off, you know, fishing for.
Nothing better. Yeah, for sure. Hey, Bud from San Diego says, good morning, gentlemen. Are there limits, fish total, weight, time, day, fish for commercial fishing?
No, that's the thing about commercial fishing. Catch all you can.
Catch all you can. That's
cool. Sport fishing is different because we want you guys not to catch them all so us commercial fishermen can try to catch
Perfect.
Them and sell them.
There you go.
All
right.
Hey, with that said, we got our guy, the Angler's Realtor on hold, Yosef Husseini. And today, that catch report sponsor us by the Fish Pros, the Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. You can check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trip. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest in customer service. You can stop by their Old Town location on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure you make that reservation today. We got him. Yosef is on the line. Good morning, Yosef.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
Hey, happy New Year to you.
Good, good. Happy New Year to you guys. Fishing has been a little bit slow because of the weather, but yesterday the weather was actually beautiful on the water. Fish is picking up a little bit. As everybody knows, the rockfish closure started, so bust out your sculpin gear now. For your local fishing, everything outside of California down in Mexico is still okay, but we are in the rockfish closure now. That being said, rock fishing last week before the closure was excellent up in the sand up in Santa Barbara Island, St. Nick. Ling caught as well up to 20 pounds in the area. Lots of guys slow pitching in deep water up there. Santa Monica Bay, the rock fishing was great last week as well. Just outside of Redondo Canyon, same thing there. Everybody was fishing deep water for quality rockfish on a fresh dead squid. Sculpin and whitefish on the El Segundo Pipe is very steady pick on strips of fresh dead. Then down Palo Verde, L.A. Harbor area, the whitefish fishing has been unreal. Sculpin and rockfish fishing was really good as well. Guys still were dropping for 450 feet to 700 feet and deeper drops for sablefish and blackgills as well. Lots of cow cod in that area. Make sure you have a descending device for you or with you. Catalina halibut bite has been decent. Still moving on the backside. The front side, there's still tons of bonita around from Church Rock down to the cruise ship anchorage. San Clemente Island's been the same deal. There is some bonita in there. There was quality reds off the backside. Not a ton of game fish signs on the squid beds that we've been getting reports of. La Jolla down south, there's bonita everywhere. Bonita's the big game. Catch them on, you know, slow troll baits, dropper loops, squid, mackerel, yo-yo, everything you can think of. There was some reports of yellowtail being caught last week in La Jolla as well on the slow troll. Not a crazy bite or anything, but guys are picking them up. Coronado Islands area, yellowtail are possible. We're not really getting any reports of them. There was some really good lingcod fishing on the rock pile as well as solid rock fishing. And that's all I got for you, boys.
Hey, man, we'll take that for a late January. December, early January, winter time, half rainy report. That's plenty of good action going on and plenty of game fish to go with it. And like we were saying, too, we got another day or two of this up and down weather, but a really nice stretch coming in front of us. So I think plenty of good still to come, Yosef.
Yeah,
it is. I believe so as well. As soon as this weather breaks a little bit, we should hopefully have some yellowtail fish.
For sure. And, of course, FishDope.com always has the good stuff. That's where you get your information. $30 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. $30, what a great way. That's 365 days. So why not, if you don't have a membership, get it today, save $30 off, and it'll have it all the way till next year. How about that? And, Yosef, what's going on in the real estate game?
Real estate game is starting to move again. People are getting off the couch. Yesterday I had two open houses going. I had people running them for me, and it was a madhouse.
Wow.
So people are starting to buy again. Rates are coming down. If you bought in the past 2 years, think about refining. This should come down a little bit more as well. You can do zero down, you know, refis and hopefully lower your payment.
Yeah, for sure. And you can handle all that, whether you want to buy, sell, or refi the house, call Yosef, right?
You got it. I'll set you up with our mortgage company, and we'll get you all dialed in.
All right. How do we get a hold of you?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can get me on social media, at The Angler's Realtor. You can also get me on my website, at sportsmansrealty.com. If you'd like a free home evaluation, go to socalhomeeval.com.
Thanks, Yosef. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Take care, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, buddy.
Happy New Year.
Hey, when we come back, we hook up coming your way. More of your phone calls, more of your texts, and a whole lot more with Joel. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Here's exciting news from Baker Marine and Fujinon. For a limited time, get $175 of instant savings on the Fujinon TSX 1440 stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Talk about the perfect gift for anyone that spends time on the water, or the perfect time to finally get your pair. Now is the best time to upgrade your gear to a pair of Fujinon stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Baker Marine has been selling binoculars for decades, and they service all brands right at their San Diego Shelter Island location. The Fujinon TechnoStabi TSX 1440 is the best value in stabilized binoculars, period. They deliver rock-steady vision, even in rough waters. And now, for a limited time, get an instant rebate of $175. Baker Marine is the largest Fujinon retailer on the West Coast, and when you buy from them, they'll be there when your binoculars need service. Stop by their store on Shelter Island in San Diego and grab your instant savings now. This offer ends soon, so get your pair from Baker Marine. Learn more at BakerMarine.com.
Experience the magic of Haida Gwaii Islands, British Columbia, Canada, at Haida Gwaii Safaris, formerly Queen Charlotte Safaris. Hi, I'm Valerie Hopebridge. 25 years ago, I fell in love with these incredible islands, breathtaking scenery and wildlife, warm community, and truly phenomenal fishing. That passion inspired me to open my own fishing lodge. Just steps away from the Sandspit Harbor at Haida Gwaii Safaris, you will be fishing pristine, unpressured waters for Chinook salmon, halibut, giant lingcod, and more. Plus, be surrounded by untouched beauty and wildlife. All of us at Haida Gwaii Safaris have exciting news. We now have our own charter flight to and from Sandspit out of Vancouver, making your trip easier than ever. We pride ourselves on creating unforgettable adventures that turn the first-time guests into longtime friends. You will come for the fishing, and you'll come back for the memories. We are booking now. Please call 1-877-815-2892 or visit us at qcsafaris.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Haida Gwaii Safaris, we're unforgettable memories are made one catch at a time.
Hi, Bob Hoos with Costa Sunglasses. If you've got young anglers in your life who are just getting hooked, Costa's got something made just for them. The new next-gen collection is built for long days on the water and takes Costa's iconic performance for smaller faces. Check out Schoolie, Costa's first 8-base wrap for smaller profiles, and Street Heat, a bold everyday frame with micro side shields that keep glare and spray where they belong. Help the next generation see what's out there and protect what's out there. Available now at CostaDelMar.com and select retailers starting at $130.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. Having a great time with Joel in here this morning. Lots
We're just
of fun.
Laughing through the breaks here. It's like Joel's very entertaining.
It's good to have you back, buddy, for sure. If you want to get in on the fun, 833-288-0973 is how you doing. I had a fun text here. It says, good morning, guys. What a fun show. Joel, sounds like you've been a part of all of the fisheries here. In terms of Southern California, if you could pick a certain sport, certain length of sport fishing trip to run forever, what would it be? Long range, local, coastal, islands. Sounds like you've done it all, and I've really enjoyed being on all the trips over the years with you. It's definitely never a dull moment fishing with Joel. Hope to get out with you again one of these days. That's from Rory in Lakeside.
Well, it's all seasonal. So if you want to catch something that swims on the surface beside this big bonita thing we got going on right now, you're going to have to go on a little bit longer trip. But, you know, keep an eye on the counts and that bluefin's biting and the guys are catching them on those reverse day-and-a-half trips or two-and-a-half-day trips or whatever. You want to go on one of those because you get more hours of fishing nowadays than you used to get because it's all day, all night, all day, all night, all day, all night, all day, all night with this bluefin thing. Because before, I mean, it was like we leave at night, travel all night, get to where we're going, fish all day, take a nap, wait till the sun comes up, start all over again. But, it, you know, there's so much opportunity here out of San Diego to have a good time, be it on a local boat, a short-range boat, long-range boat. You know, it all depends on how deep your pockets are. Because I was telling these guys on one of the breaks, when I was a kid, it was $3.50 to go half-day fishing at La Jolla.
Wow.
You catch a limited calico bass, no problem, or barracuda, bonita, yellowtail, and then you can re-ride in the afternoon for half price.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the deal's still the same. It's just the dollar value is different, so the numbers are bigger.
Sure. Yeah.
But it was easy. My mom would give me $10 at the beginning of the summer, and that was all she had to give me.
Yeah.
I'd catch some fish, little deal at the top of the dock, somebody buy a bunch of calico bass. I can't eat that much fish. My parents like fish, but not that much fish. So it was...
That's how you rode the boat.
That's how I kept going fishing. Yeah. I'd afford galley food.
Yeah.
That was the babysitter cost for me. It was C4 sport fishing cost $10.
Good thing Cal-Tip wasn't around when that back then.
Well, that was before the rule was sport fish could not be sold. So I wasn't breaking the law.
Before the rules. Oh,
before
okay.
that rule
okay.
came out.
Okay, all right.
So
you were a law-abiding citizen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
A pillar of society.
Never not.
But I guess that's what I do now is catch fish and sell them. So.
Yeah. That's there. Yeah. But you have a license to do that.
I have a license, yeah. And they're not cheap.
I can imagine. Yeah. Now, are albacore permits regulated, like, say, a lobster permit?
There's
or
a highly migratory species permit and a high seas permit that we need to catch albacore.
Both are federal, right?
Yes.
Federal. Yeah.
Well, all boats are federal. It's
yeah.
And then we have the state of California, a Lempura one for making bait.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I think that's what they call the net for making anchovies.
Yeah.
And then one for commercial fishing. We have a commercial license for the boat, commercial license for the crew. Mm-hmm. Then we need one up in Washington because we offload up there. A Lempura permit for Washington also because that's where we make bait and during the season. So, yeah. Permits. License.
Yeah.
Money. No,
yeah.
No. It cost us $100,000 to get the boat off the dock last year.
Wow.
Insurance, fuel, bait, sure, crew, sure. blah, blah, blah.
Not including the boat payment.
No, not including the boat payment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So it's not a cheap
yeah,
deal.
No, it's
you
want to
have a
not a
season.
Poor man's game.
You want to have
so those fish you got to keep biting.
You got to keep biting. Yeah.
Or,
now, do you keep the crew, your crew, entertained on the boat like you do when you're going on a sport boat? No?
No, their English isn't so good. So.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So you can't entertain them. Right over there. Oh, your humor goes right over their
head.
Yeah,
yeah. That's kind of why I'm misfortunate because some people understand
so
you.
So you have to kind of humor yourself.
Because I'm pretty sure that before they come over, and I love these guys, whether they work hard, they give it their heart and
most
soul.
Most Filipinos.
But they are only required to know two words. One is yes, and the other one is captain.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter what they understand when you tell them something. Yes, captain. And you go away and he goes, hey, you haven't done that. You got this? Oh, yes, captain. You understand what I'm saying, right? Yes, captain.
Okay.
That's hilarious.
Perfect.
You know, is the earth flat? Yes, captain. You know, I mean.
I'm sure you've given them plenty of Joel Ralston gold over the years that just. It just didn't.
No, yeah. No, but they're good guys.
That's cool.
Yeah, the crew, they're hardworking.
Yeah.
No, will your crew stay the same for next year, the foreign crew, or is it always recycle? I mean, how does?
Well,
that
we're still trying to fine tune our crew.
I'm sure. Yeah.
The guys we had that hadn't done it before.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Joel's in trouble.
There's one of his crews calling.
But they hadn't done it before, and. You can't pick it up,
sure.
Like in one season.
But if it
so some of those guys are like crane operators, and anyone who's fished albacore know that albacore have really soft mouths. Mm-hmm. Hooks rip out all the time. Whether you're bait fishing one or trying to catch one on the jig, they pop off all the time. Mm-hmm. And so some of these guys are like crane operators. They have the fish all the way out of the water, and then they try to get the pole and we wear these belts with like a hole in it for the butt of the lift pole. And so they're bouncing the fish around, then they rip off, and that ounce and a half squid comes back, and bam, it hits the canopy over your head. It's like somebody hitting the roof with a ball peen hammer, you know. If you didn't have that, there would be a lot of 911 things for airlifted people with big holes in their head, because those things come back fast.
Yeah,
but they're ripping them off, and they're having stick fights, you know, because they got to mirror each other.
Yeah, okay.
Because,
there's a lot of technique.
If you're fishing in the current and you get bit and somebody's got their rod over you because they just cast it out, when you get bit, you can't set the hook. So it's kind of the same thing, you know. So they're stick fighting in the rack, and it's just like, God, what are you doing, you know? And my back's all messed up, so I can't go down there and show them. Right. And I try to blah, blah, blah.
As much as you like to set the hook, I know that's your favorite thing to do is set the hook.
Oh, yeah, that's
when
right.
When circle hooks started coming out, you hit them.
You can fish with your purse, fish with a circle hook. You can put your rod in gear.
That's it.
But, no, we're traveling 4 to 6 knots when the guys are fishing the poles.
Oh, it's that fast. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I've seen boats. When I was jigging, I see boats going 7.5 knots of the guys on the rack fishing
really?
Long poles.
I wouldn't
and pick, neither would I, but
fast.
You got to figure out how fast the fish want to go while you're fishing.
You're matching
and they're just following you like puppy dogs.
Yeah, but so as far as the crew thing, you know, we're trying to fine tune it to where, you know, we could compete a little bit better with these guys that had 5 crew members or 7 crew members that have been on the boat for 8 or 10 or 12 years, you know, where they know each other's movement, you know, and no stick fights in the rack. So,
So if albacore ever come back here, which we certainly hope it's going to be this year.
I hope so.
Yeah. Would it behoove people on their own personal private boat to keep the boat in gear when you get a jig strike and start chumming to keep the school with you?
No, you can stop because when you get a bite, you're on the school. It's just when we're jigging with no barbs on the hooks, you got to keep going.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
So the school will stick with you if you keep them back.
Yeah, but one thing that would be in their best interest is people learning how to cast something light because nobody knows how to fish an anchovy anymore.
That's true.
Everyone's been fishing with these 6-ounce sardines where you could cast at a half a block into like 40 knots of wind.
Right.
We start fishing with anchovies again. Some people are going to have a hard time hitting the water with the bait.
Yeah.
So Frank used to tell people to get a wooden clothespin.
Right.
And just take the half, and not the spring half, but just tie that onto the end of your line and get used to trying to cast that with some 20 or some 25-pound string.
Right.
And if you can cast half a clothespin, you know, if you get 20 feet or 25 feet, you're going to be ahead of the rest of the people that are stuck wanting to 8-ounce bait.
Yeah. Practice.
Practice. I used to practice in the backyard. I hooked my next-door neighbor in the head with a jig when he snuck up on me.
Yeah.
His mom was like, you stay away from that Ralston kid. He's bad news.
Did you land him?
I didn't have to turn the handle very much. He was right there.
Okay.
It's like a big eye and a hand line. You shook his head, fired his gill plates, and you got the guy.
Yeah, yeah. He still lives next door because we...
Oh.
Yeah.
You scare him. Mark in Fallbrook writes, good morning, gentlemen. Joel is one of the best guests you have ever had on this show. The ocean current is floating trash. If this ocean current of floating trash, that was on the news, do you ever come across that big...
We used to fish that in the middle. The guys at Longline out of here, they fish halfway between here and Hawaii, and there's some of those big anomalies, we'll call them, where all the current meets up for hundreds of miles. And, yeah, there's garbage, buckets, bucket lids.
Yeah.
Anything that can float is stuck in them. But everyone says it's the size of Texas. I've never seen that.
No.
And I've made the trip back and forth between here and Hawaii or Washington and Hawaii a bunch of times. And I see lines of garbage, trash
lines. But not big, giant hotels.
No, not like... Like size of Texas.
Yeah.
Somebody told me it's supposed to be the size of Texas. Yeah. I've never seen that. I've seen a lot of trash out there.
On the line, are there fish under the?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where we'd set our gear.
That's
what you're looking for is where everything comes together.
That's the cul-de-sac, right?
That's two highs, two lows spinning. So you get current coming this way from a high and a low, and current coming this way from a high and a low, and it all just.
Yeah. So when you're in the ocean and you see kind of a line of current line or current debris or something like that, is that a good place to fish?
Yeah.
That's a place you want to start.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Been good enough to me to afford a California home and maintain it. And
yeah. Which is saying something these days, right?
Yeah, it's saying something.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, I had another fun text come through. Says, well, I can so clearly remember my first fishing trip with Joel on the Relentless. You hung a rubber chicken over my head, and I asked what it was for. You said, if I farm a fish, I'll wear this for the rest of the day. Well, I never lost that fish, and it was so great fishing with you, and it's been the most fun getting to listen to you again. Happy New Year's, Joel. Love everything you do.
Well, thank you.
You've got fans out there, Joel.
Well, I pay these people to say good stuff about me on the radio,
So Sam writes, I'm not sure where Sam's coming from, but he says, do you love the sport fishing teamwork of albacore fishing, or do you think bluefin are more fun to catch solo?
It's always better to catch something all by yourself.
Yeah. Find your own fish.
Find your own fish. It's always better because the longer there's more boats on something, the harder it is to get it to bite. It just starts getting a little boat shy.
Yeah.
If you can find something by yourself, catch it. But sometimes there's not a great big area. Sometimes you got to kind of throw yourself into the mix.
Yeah.
Like that nighttime fishing, everyone leapfrogs nowadays. Somebody gets a school, then somebody else gets the same school, they leapfrog, and then you know which way it's going. You can just do it by the radar, and then everyone's at leapfrog, same school going this way, leapfrog.
Yeah.
It's because
there
horrible.
Wasn't, like, especially this last
back in the days, there'd be a lot of words back and forth on the dock, and they would not be G-rated. Because it's just crazy about the nighttime activity for people just bouncing off each other trying to get on the same school.
Yeah.
Now they're so close, you don't need to be on the dock. You can just talk to them.
Hey, man.
They're literally right next to you.
You want
to
back off a little bit?
So that's when there's not a lot of schools around. When you're fishing albacore, like this year, like later in the year, were there a lot of schools around, or were you?
It was pretty user friendly, but I think that's what got me in trouble. I think I might have got too close to somebody.
Ah, okay, yeah.
But you know it.
But it didn't seem.
Everybody has different rules. Somebody doesn't want to even see another boat. You know, some guys want you to stay a mile away if you're working the jig boat. Sometimes they just say half a mile. If you don't know what everyone's rule book is, it's hard to play by their rules.
Right.
You know, there's no set.
Yeah,
if
they don't tell you the rules, it's hard to know what the rules
pamphlet,
are.
You know?
Yeah. You were making up your own plan.
And
your
first
year,
good
right?
enough to be seen on the big screen. I wait for the movie. I don't read books or pamphlets anymore. So if I haven't seen the movie about how everyone wants to play the game, well, then I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Yeah,
because I'm just me.
That's just you. You catch fish.
But it wasn't on purpose.
No,
it's just if they're on a spot and there's another spot available, I'm going to get on that spot.
But then you found your own fish.
A couple of times. It's happened before.
Yeah, it happens.
And it's going to happen again.
That's what you do.
That's what we do.
Well, I had a fun text. Good morning, everybody. I have a real quick report to give. We returned this morning from a day-and-a-half trip on board the Liberty to Colonette. It was nonstop fun on reds, lings, bonita, and I was very lucky to land one of the great yellowtail that we caught on the boat. The weather was absolutely perfect with calm seas. Captain Taro and his crew are top-notch, and that was from John and Whittier. So
nice.
Glad to hear that Colonette fishing's
off
to a good start.
Yeah,
I think
I know.
That was the first one that the Liberty ran down.
And Liberty's going to start doing more of that.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. Day and a half to Colonette every weekend from here on out. I don't know if
there's a few boats on that kind of schedule.
Yeah, I know that they've got a little bit of maintenance-y things that they're doing, so I don't know if that's before or after. I don't know if there's one next weekend or not, but I'm sure you could call the landing and find out.
Yeah,
but yeah, good to have that back in the mix again.
And Taro and the crew of the Liberty are going to start doing more extended, instead of doing the full day, regular full day trips out of Fisherman's Landing, they're more going to be a day and a half because they have bunks and everything. They are going to do a few full-day trips, but most of their trips this season is going to be concentrated on day-and-a-half, two-day, three-day kind of trips.
It was fun to watch the progression of that. You know, the Liberty's a three-day boat that ran full-day trips,
right.
And they did such a good job that they just started getting chartered more and more and more and more for day-and-a-half trips, and all those guys would go and have a great time, and then they would book again, and it was getting to the point where the boat was so chartered for their day-and-a-half trips that they weren't really available for a full-day run, And the last time Tara was on the show, it was just nothing but phone calls of, oh, we had such a great time on our day-and-a-half charter, we want to do another one. And so they just, you know, hey, if that's what the people want and they're clearly very good at doing it, that's what they're going to do. So, yeah, it sounds like a lot more focus on day-and-a-half to three-day type charters this year. And I'm sure we'll see a presence at the islands every now and again.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right. The people wanted longer, and so that's what Tara and the boys are going to give them.
Nice.
Yeah. So, again, Blair in Santa Cruz wanted to know how many times we talked about this earlier, but how many times are you offloading? Like, what causes you to offload? Is running out of food, running out of fuel?
No, full of fish.
Full of fish.
Sometimes when we went in, we had one guy quit, so we had to go in and drop him off.
Yeah.
And we didn't offload then, but then we came in. My son came out and helped, and he had like a dislocated rib and a lung infection, and he came out to be our chummer.
Wow.
And then it was gnarly. And,
yeah.
You know, the conditions weren't very good for him up
this
there.
Is your son
and then
that's
my
in,
wife.
Going to Princeton?
Then Michelle was on the tank.
Yeah.
And it's harsh conditions. She comes out fishing with me, and thank God for that.
Now, do you take him out? Because he's got a full scholarship to Princeton, right, your son?
My other son, John.
You're the son,
but,
John.
But Joshua, he's an academic.
Yeah.
Which I'm proud of that.
He's not going to be on the bait tank.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but he's a prince, so we're going to go see him in, on the 7th. We fly out there.
That's impressive.
But John was out for a while, and he went home. He was in too much pain. He would have stayed.
Sure.
Yeah, totally hardcore.
Yeah, to boot him off. In the best of ways.
Yeah, and then Michelle took the duty on the tank. She was good on the tank. It's just it's harsh conditions, you know. So I told her, you know, weather a little dicey. I said, hey, get off the tank, you know. And
yeah.
She loved it.
Dangerous,
up there.
Right?
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that the crew cook, but when she's out of the boat, you know, she keeps me fed, sustains life.
Yeah.
It's much nicer when she's on the boat.
It
seems more like home.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
Eat well.
She's fun. That's the thing. I can imagine a lot more fun on the boat.
Absolutely.
Hey, well, I want to sneak another one in there. It says, good morning, gentlemen. What a fun show this has been with Captain Joel. Joel, my question is, what size of fish can you successfully land with a lift pole gear? Do you guys ever run into things? Do you have trouble getting over the rail? That's from Daniel in Santa Barbara.
Well, if you've ever watched that Tribute to Tuna thing, you see those guys. In fact, at the Fisherman's Monument here on Shelter Island.
Right.
It's got three guys in the rack on one fish. It's a three-pole fish. So we actually have the gear for that. Sometimes that albacore on the beach gets up to 35 or better pounds, and that's kind of, you know, when the boat's going four knots or four and a half knots. Sometimes those guys got to double up on some of that fish.
No
but
kidding.
Everything was single pole on year one with us on that boat.
Yeah.
If we catch bigger fish, yay, we'll sure. Take them. But they come on faster if they're – that 18.5-pound fish, you know, a lot of 20, 25-pounders, those were tough.
I can't imagine.
Going five knots.
That's what I'm saying. I had no idea the boat was going that fast while you're doing
it's
that.
Gnarly.
Thinking, like,
you
it's
gnarly.
You
know when you get a bite.
Idle, you know, like, it's
not a nibble.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
On.
It's not like, oh, hey, I think I got those, one. Oh, do you want to swing now? Does he have it? It's burn your yeah. Bit.
Guys in the rack don't need to go to the gym.
They should go to the gym.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves that full collection of AFCO gear. Lots of fun with Joel. You stay tuned. There's more to come. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Rock Todd Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Truett West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it, fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parkers in stock and ready for delivery. and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
The San Diego Rodeo is happening soon at Petco Park, and your San Diego County Ford dealer can get you there as the official truck. Take a test drive at your local San Diego County Ford dealer and get two complimentary tickets to the San Diego Rodeo that's happening January 16th through the 18th. It's only while supplies last, and the tickets are going fast. Don't miss out. Be sure to visit buyfordnow.com to find your local participating Ford dealer to take your test drive today.
This is Bill Varney with the 2026 CCA Sport Fishing Calendar, and I'd like to thank our advertisers, sponsors, and customers for their support. The calendar provides much-needed funding and highlights CCA's fight to protect marine habitat and your right to fish. If you need a tight calendar to plan your fishing trips, you'll find them at most tackle shops, landings, and online at surfishtackle.com. Thank you again for joining, volunteering, and supporting CCA California.
The reels that Southern California anglers have been waiting for are here. Shimano is proud to introduce the all-new Talica 40A and 50A reels. The Talica series is Shimano's flagship two-speed lever drag reel. It sits at the very pinnacle of the offshore world. Shimano has increased the fishability of the larger Talica models by reducing rotational resistance at high drag and improving durability in critical positions within the reel. The all-new Talica 40A and 50A now boast Infinity Drive, which employs two drag washers housed on the side of the reel, allowing for an ultra-smooth, powerful drag system, while at the same time increasing winding power under a load by as much as 40%. The new Talica is built around a more compact, cold-forged machine aluminum one-piece frame. Plus, there's also a new higher high gear built with a Southern California angler in mind. The new Talica 40 and 50A are available now at your local Shimano dealer.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear, literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me, book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters. 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, Joel's going to do us the honor, find out who's winning all that great AFCO gear, whether it's a call or a texter. Do it up, Joel. Let's
go for it.
This is heavy. Watch out there for the electronics.
Hey, oh, nice flip. We have a texter today. Congratulations. That's Bud in San Diego. Congratulations, bud. You got a cool hookup of AFCO gear.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks to AFCO for all that. Joel, thank you for taking the time to come in.
Thanks for having me.
Really great.
How about a springtime deal before I go?
We'd love to have you back, man. You're like A number one here for us. Yeah.
I've been called a lot of things.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
You've been given the number one.
Something else.
Yeah, probably not put together.
No, they don't collide the same sentence.
But good luck with the Teresa M. Thank you for taking the time and
thanks
and,
for having
and
me.
Keep catching, man. When do you go fishing again?
Beginning of June. Yeah. End of May, beginning of June. I want to get up there earlier this year.
All right, cool. Well, great. Great to have you, and thank you. Thanks to Jeff at the Fan for manning the phones and the board, and thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Thanks to you out there. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Saturday. Seth Bone will be calling us live from Kingfisher Charters, talking Alaska fishing next Saturday with Seth, and then next Sunday, Captain Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on YouTube, Facebook Live, the Let's Talk Hookup app, and 97.3 The Fan.